As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Potatoes, potatoes, I heard you call out as the lobster backs crested the hill. Potatoes were with us in the fires of Lamont and in the sandpaper grass of Castile. Potatoes were there when we took Santa Fe, when the Spaniards grabbed ankle and split. By the time we got to Idaho, as far as the eye would go, potatoes were anywhere you'd spit. Work is not a wolf. Work is not a wolf. It won't run off on you into the woods. I followed potatoes as far as they'd lead, and I arrived at your glorious door. I always did hate those content-looking lovers, but potatoes have led me to you, and that means that you're mine. And so is happiness. Work is not a wolf. Work is not a wolf. It won't take off on you and run into the woods.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. And man, I got one of my favorite bands from New York. I got the guitar player from Mad Meg, Dan Vexler. Man, how you doing?
All right, not bad, man. What's going on? It's been a while.
Man, I'm thankful for Igor, man. He put me on your music. I had no idea that you did your own thing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm more known as the guitar player from Mad Meg, for sure.
So, but this is, I'm him. So I listened to that title track too, several times today, man, obsessed with the lyrics. And I was going through and like reading some of the lyrics from the other songs, man. Great songwriting.
Thank you very much.
So go ahead.
No, sorry. I'll answer a question. If you don't.
Right. On. Say, up to you. I'm very impressed, man. I still get blown away every time I listen to Beyond Repair. You had the great solo. If y'all haven't watched the music video, you can see Dan being carried out on the stretcher, just hammering it down. But
playing a Soviet guitar in that video, by the way, that.
Oh,
in that scene you're talking about where they're carrying me on the stretcher, I'm playing this guitar from the Soviet Union.
That's very cool.
Very, it's like real futuristic, you know, it's very space.
Yeah. So man, I'm him, and I want to go back and listen to your first album, which I think you released it in 2021.
Well, that wasn't my first album, but that is
first one on Bandcamp.
Yeah, let's go with that. I've been recording for, forever. I mean, I like made my first album on a 4-track cassette player in 1998. For some reason, I've had some kind of a breakthrough, I feel, in my songwriting in the last few years. And so my current stuff definitely includes the 2021 album Dear Northern Atlantic, and also the more recent, the 2023 album I'm Him, which you have mentioned. Both are on Spotify and all the major platforms. And in addition to that, I also have one more album with 8 tracks in the can and ready to go. I think it's going to be released in June.
Oh, perfect.
And I also have this huge project that I've been working on for the last 2.5 years now. It's been quite a while. It's the biggest production I've ever done. A collection of my songs written over the last 20 years, where not only does it feature a ton of the amazing musicians, instrumentalists that I know, not just from New York, but from actually all over the country, and even a few from Europe. But also, the songs are all sung by different people, and I've got a ton of great vocalists on there. So it kind of has that one has that project has kind of the effect of being sort of a musical, because it kind of sounds like it's a bunch of different characters, and the songs are all quite different because they're all written at different parts of my at different times in my life, you see. So that's a kind of unique project also that stands aside in a way, because it's also a much more produced record. Like I'm Him is a bit minimalistic instrumentally by
That's
contrast.
I'm into that style, man. Like and the piano work and the drums. I mean, like you said, very minimalistic. It kind of took me to more of an eastern side of the world as far as the guitar and a lot of the way that the music made me feel. It kind of took me to like it kind of gypsy.
Right, there's a certain Eastern European kind of gypsy feel to the way that I play rhythm guitar sometimes, for sure.
But brother, this big project that you're talking about that you're working on, just out of curiosity, and I don't know if you are, but would you be interested in having that put on vinyl?
Oh yeah, I'd love to have that happen.
Man, I'd help fund that.
Really?
Yeah, I'd definitely be interested in being a part of that, man. But I'd like to back up, take me back to 1998 and like recording on those cassettes.
Yeah,
And
sure.
like early influences, man. So like, what influenced you to pick up?
If we really want to go back to the origins,
Yeah, let's go.
when I was like 11, or maybe not 11, but at 12, definitely, I decided I needed to multi-track. I needed to record multi-tracks, right? And I didn't ha know how to do this, or I didn't even know that like 4-track cassette recorders existed at that time. I just conceptualized like I need to play more than one part on a I need to record this and play more than one part. So I got a hold of 2 tape players, just regular tape recorders, and hooked them up through the RCA cable. And then one of them had a mic input. I had the cheapest mic possible from Radio Shack or whatever. It was like $10 back then or something, which is a lot of money for a 12-year-old. And I made like a backing track, and then I put it in the second, or rather, I put it in the first cassette, put another cassette in the second one, and recorded it through the RCA plus the mic. And so I sort of in like kind of invented this way of multi-tracking. And I know a lot of other people have done that too, but
Well, I mean, that's interesting. You come across that like at such a young age and you just conceptualized it, you know?
I had to solve that problem. I needed it, so I came up with it. I'm still, when I think about that now, I'm pretty impressed with my 12-year-old self.
Yeah, man. So like out the gate, man, how old were you when you began to pursue music?
I think I was all just, I mean, as long as I remember, I was pursuing it, but I started to actually learn to play instruments when I was 10. I had, I'm from Russia, and I born there and lived there till I was 7 years old. And when I was six or seven, I had a few music lessons with somebody that I actually really lucked out, right? Because the Russian school of teaching children music is, let's say, not very friendly to creativity.
Yes, I imagine very structured, and you do it this way.
Right. It's much more of an Eastern kind of approach, I think their approach more comes from like China potentially or something like that, rather than a kind of like the free and pleasure principle oriented approach that we have in the West,
Yeah, sure.
But I was extremely lucky that this was a friend of the family. He was a friend of my grandparents, and he was blind. He had been blinded in World War II. He was in the Siege of Leningrad. He caught a piece of shrapnel in the back of his head. But he was a famous musician and a famous professor of music. He kind of founded the Russian School of Music Psychology, which is also very interesting. But anyway, so I was very lucky because his way of teaching me was not at all rigid and technical like that. But one of the first, maybe the first assignment he gave me, I remember, was to compose a, and I didn't know anything, any theory or anything at all. He said, "You've got a piano." We had a piano at home. He said, "You've got a piano at home. Compose a story, a melodic story on the piano." I was like a 6 year old, and he gives me this assignment, and I just remember that to this day because it was so affirming and empowering. So that's probably my first actual experience with playing an instrument, but I didn't start learning systematically till I was 10.
Well, man, just taking that up to today and just sitting with your music as I was riding around in the truck today, man, I think that carried on. I think that stuck with you because like the approach with your music, I do see it progressing like a story.
Really? Yeah,
Shout out
excellent.
to him.
Influential. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. And then also I just would like to mention that the songs on I'm Him, a lot of them, and a few of the ones on the next record that's going to come out in June are they were written over the last couple of years, and beginning with a bunch of songs. A bunch of songs that I wrote in the summer of 2022 in a songwriting class with a guy named Stephen Clare. He's great, and he's in Beacon, New York. He's got a music school there, and he gives great prompts every week, and these prompts just unleashed, like a Niagara of creativity in me. So I'm
Would it
very
be
grateful.
like, would it be like a single word or a phrase or just different
Oh,
things?
they were like sometimes pretty abstract. There were a lot of diverse types of prompts, but for example, like the potatoes song on I'm Him, right? Which is in two parts. I broke it up into two parts. That was the prompt for that was write a song about food where that's a waltz and where you use only minor chords and where it's what was the other rule? It was something cool. It was something fun. Oh yeah, right. Find a foreign like expression or idiom and use it as the chorus in this song. So in the potatoes song, in I'm referring to a song on my record, I'm Him. It's called "Work Is Not a Wolf,"
Yes.
which is a Russian expression, It's a mysterious kind of cryptic thing. And so I translated that into English and it became the chorus of that song.
Yeah, I was wondering where that came from.
It was those types of prompts, and they lead to really unexpected results that somehow give more depth. I the title track, I'm Him, was the first one I wrote in that class.
Yeah, and
And
it's
that
kind of got like the Jekyll Hyde thing going. And that was a very interesting like dichotomy in the way that you took it, like not only in yourself and like there being two part, but also the world, you know. It was very interesting.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, and the rest of the songs are basically about unhappy love and a little bit about kind of spirituality. I think that it's in there, but I mean, maybe it's not for me to say. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that record's about.
That's interesting, man. I'm gonna borrow some of that because like with some of the songwriter rounds that we'll do here, like we'll do phrases or words, but I have never thought about, okay, here's the idea, now do it in a waltz and use minor chords. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's always something different. Sometimes it's a very simple thing. Sometimes it's a very, there's like several rules and they're all very detailed,
Yeah, that's a great way to push.
Yeah, totally. It leads to a lot of great things. Or like the song The First Time, that's also on I'm Him, was the prompt for that was it was write a song where each adjacent chord has two notes in common with the chord before it. So now you're already forced to play with a bunch of chromatic, moving notes and stuff in between chords. So that already lends itself to interesting kind of harmonic and melodic solutions. And then also it was supposed to be the lyrics were supposed to be a progression of some kind.
Yeah.
That's
Hey,
it.
when you go ahead, I'm sorry.
Those were the only rules, but so it became a counting song.
Yeah. When you were transitioning from piano over to guitar, was that difficult? Like, 'cause I mean, the piano is laid out chromatically. Did you have trouble when it came to the theory of it translating over to guitar?
Not really. I was learning when I was 10, I started learning guitar, and that was my main instrument.
Okay.
And I was quite lucky again in that my first guitar teacher was really a pianist, and she sort of knew a little bit about how to play guitar. And so she was constantly explaining what we were doing on the guitar to me in terms of music theory as is visible on the piano, like she was using the piano still as a model to explain the theory. And so that really helped me a lot, I think. But no, it wasn't, I didn't really transition from piano to guitar.
Okay, it was kind of simultaneous the whole time as you were going.
Yeah.
What about like when you're approaching songwriting, do you always start with the guitar or do sometimes you like to go to the piano?
No, sometimes I like to write on the piano for sure. It's just whatever draws me in,
Yeah.
a moment. The song that I shared with you earlier, it's called Struggle and Suffering, and it's from I'm Him. That's a piano song. I wrote that on the piano, and that's the rhythm part in the song is a piano.
Yeah, very cool, man. Well, let's step back. We talked about the cassette tape recordings and learning. What about the transition over here to America? And I'm guessing New York City, and then kind of getting involved with that New York scene. How'd you break in?
I moved to New York in 2003, so I've been here for 20 and a half years. And the first band that I was in was called Zambri, and it was these two sisters, they were like in their early 20s, and they wrote pop music and they sang pretty well. I mean, they had something going on there, but they needed a backing band, and I had kind of put together a band for my own purposes, but this was a chance to play gigs immediately. And so I was like, yeah, we'll just become your backing band, even though it was actually a completely not a fitting type of thing, because I had put together this kind of bluesy band, It was a total misfit thing, but they went for it, and we played with them for about 6 or 7 months, I think. And yeah, that was like baptism by fire. We played all the clubs at the time that were in the Lower East Side and in the East Village, and a few of the even sort of bigger ones, as I remember. That was a good experience. The city's changed a lot since then.
Oh, I imagine so.
There's a bunch of stuff that's just not there anymore. It just doesn't exist anymore. Like we played this place called Rare, 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 like meat. It was in the meatpacking district before the meatpacking district was gentrified and became like all built up and fancy like it is now. At the time, it was like literally sketchy to like to go there or whatever. And this was an actual converted meat locker. The club was a meat locker with like a meat hook still hanging from the ceiling, the freezer doors and all that stuff, Now all that stuff's gone, of course. It's all steel and glass now.
Oh man. Like partnering up with that duo, would you have seen like your band being able to get in and get those gigs without like
Yeah.
that baptism by fire?
Well, it would have taken a lot longer just because these girls were really motivated, and I'm not, my personality is not so driven, So no, that was really good, I think, even though it sort of sidelined me from what I was trying to do with that band. But then, we went on to transform to into a couple of different things. That band, I called that band Mother. That was my first band in New York. It was called Mother. Eventually we made an EP that I still think is great. We made it in 2006. It was called Love Scenes from Above.
Is that available anywhere, like Spotify or anywhere?
Not yet, but it will be soon, actually.
Is that going to be part of the big project you got working?
No,
Some of
no,
those
no.
songs?
It's a different thing. It's a different thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I recorded like 40 songs in the last 2 years. I don't know why. It's like no one's ever gonna hear them, but I just had to do it. So
I mean, that might be the thing. I think Ryan Adams in January of this year, he dropped four records. And then there's a guy in country music right now, Zach Bryan. He just puts out a ridiculous amount of music. And I see it in different genres to where I consider them to be like mavericks. I mean, they're workhorses. It's like, dude, it would be okay if you never wrote another song. You've got enough material to just you could tour that for a long time, dude. And that they just keep going back to the grindstone. They're putting their nose on it. And I was like, my goodness, like you're gonna be prolific and you're gonna have over 100 songs, but they're not shit. I mean, it's quality shit.
that's amazing. I'm really interested in country, but I don't like it's such a huge world I don't know that much about. So I'm kind of daunted by even trying to
It
explore it.
I mean, just being from the South, man, I mean, I was inundated with it at a young age. I mean, that's what I would listen to with my parents when we were in the car. And
I
that
know there's a
was
lot of
and
great songs. I mean, country.
it was 90s country. And like today, I don't like anything that is on the radio. Like I'm more of like they say back in the day there were the four horsemen with like your Willie Nelsons and I'm blanking on the other ones. And like now you have the four horsemen of like your Tyler Childers and your Stapleton and all those guys. And so like it's kind of crazy to see how that culture of the 1970s and 80s country is 50 years later has kind of made its way back with these brands.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
New characters.
Yeah.
That kind of be like they took up the torch. And like everything that kind of happened in between in that genre, I think will just be a distant memory in a few years. And it's wild, like just seeing that in the genres. I mean, like... classic rock is now considered oldies, and like a classic rock fan, like someone who may like a Led Zeppelin or a Rolling Stone, it's crazy to me like how hungry they appear to be for something new, but when Greta Van Fleet is offered, they turn their nose up to it. It's like it's too much of a copycat, and I was like, well, brother, you were asking for it. Do you want it or not?
Right. And so oriented these days.
And so I'm a big independent music lover, and so like I'm typically like, and I'm not just trying to be hip or a hipster about it, but I believe that's where the good is. And so like I like what Igor does with 1KPR, man. Like he's all the time sending me all these bands and these songwriters that I would have never been able to find. Like I know you from Mad Meg, but I had no idea like you had your own projects, and like just you sharing your story today, I was like, well, I got to go back on the archives. I got to go try to find some of these things.
Well, I'm re-releasing all my everything that I've ever done probably in the next like year and a half.
So yeah, right on.
All of
well,
it.
Well, let's keep going with the story. So what would happen with the bluesy band and after the EP Mother? Or no, Mother was the name of the band.
There was the band, yeah. What happened was that the band broke up. The band broke up, as they will.
You know? Story as old as time.
But I continued to work with the drummer for quite a long time. His name is Nick Smoraski. We lived together for a while, and we decided to, we kind of transitioned for a while into this like avant-garde situation where we were making a lot of abstract sounds and found sounds and using loops and all kinds of tape things and tape manipulation things and whatever. Mostly because we were living together and we had pooled all our equipment together. So it was like the apartment was one big studio. And we called ourselves for a while. this is gonna sound weird. We called ourselves Es Muss Sein Quartet. So first of all, we thought it was really funny that there's only two of us and we were calling ourselves a quartet. Secondly, that's the name of a piece of Beethoven music, the Es Muss Sein Quartet. It's a string quartet. So it's actually not even a quartet in the same. Anyway, we were both like into this, you know, weirdness and like, you know, making things abstract and weird like that for a while. So we did a few performances like that, and we made, you know, we made some cool stuff actually.
During that time, was it? Did you try to keep it as analog as possible, or would y'all use some digital?
Yo, there was definitely some digital. It was kind of like we didn't really have any principles in that way. Like we were not purists. We just used whatever was at hand, you know, to make sounds, and that did include both analog and digital. And actually, we had two 4-track cassette players, and because we couldn't afford like good samplers, so we had two loop tapes. You know, one was 20 seconds, the other's 30 seconds. And we just had them playing on the two four tracks. And we would just fade up different loops at different times, you know, like during a performance, for example. I mean, it was kind of fun to do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that had to be fun. Yeah. Two guys being a quartet.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. A two-man quartet. Exactly. It was fun.
What about what would happen next, man?
Then what happened? Yeah, then, I mean, in the ten, you know, starting in like 2010 or 11, I kind of stepped back for a while from making music, for a few years, and or I mean, I still did it on and off, but it was really a dry period that lasted a few years. I was just busy with other things, and I kind of got, you know, a bit far away from myself, so to speak, you know?
Oh, during that time, would you get away from calling yourself a musician?
Yeah, at some points, yeah. But, I mean, that's absurd, obviously, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was...
Well, like you said, you had stepped away from yourself, so you didn't feel like yourself.
Exactly, yeah. I was kind of, yeah, I was lost there for a while, you know? And so... actually that changed because of Matt Meg, you know, basically like, I was in a real depression at one point in 2016. And, that's exactly somehow by some providential hand, I was just like placed in the lap of Matt Meg, where they were placed in my lap, you know, Igor, again, the magical Igor called me. And was like, yeah, you know, we got this, you know, there's this band. And meanwhile, I had kind of been, right. I kind of decided, you know, let me tell the story a little bit better. So I kind of decided that that my music karma was all fucked up and that I wasn't, you know, that's it. Like, that's it. Fuck this, you know, that kind of attitude. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just one tiny sort of like flickering, you know, beacon of hope still out there for me. And that was Matt Meg, actually. But I didn't allow myself to think like, oh, I'll join this band, obviously. It was more like I was following them around. I was going to their gigs and I was thinking just in a very abstract way, like permitting myself to think, well, if I were to join any band, if I were to do any music project, I would want to join this band. And then out of the blue, I never said anything about that to anybody. I didn't ask to join the band or anything. Out of the blue, Igor calls me and says, hey, like, you know, they had lost their horn section and the bass player. So whereas Igor had played rhythm guitar until then, he switched to bass. Mm-hmm. And then they had no guitarist and no horn section. And so they had this weird idea at first when they asked me to play that somehow I would compensate for the horn section with the guitar, which I'm like, well, I mean, I can play just like in the very low notes with distortion. I suppose that's kind of like a horn section, but still not really. So a lot of the, you know, a lot of my early playing with Matt Meg is in that register. Like it's all boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing, you know, because of that, because there was this.
Yeah, now that you mention it, like when I go back and listen, I do hear that now, you know. I kind of.
Exactly, yeah. But I mean, I progressed from that quite some time ago. Oh, this was like, I'm talking about like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the idea was I was supposed to join them for these three shows. They had three shows booked and they had no guitar player. So I was supposed to just join them for these three shows. And we barely had time to rehearse. I mean, by the time we went on stage, I thought I knew maybe three of the songs, but I just kind of was winging it. It was very loose and everything. But I felt terrible. Those shows sucked. I was like, fuck this. Like, okay, this is confirmation. That's it. I'm retiring from this thing. Like, forget it, you know? And then, like, that's what I decided. And I even put all my gear in storage just to get it away from me, you know? And then all of a sudden, like, within a month of that time, Igor calls again. And he's like, listen, like, we know you said, like, that was it, but we're going on tour in Russia. And if you don't go with us, then basically, like, we don't have a band.
So get your shit out of storage.
Right. And so, you know, I just had to go with it. I mean, it was at the time so obvious to me that this was a hand reaching down from above to place me, take me out of the funk I was in and place me in the new reality. And that really did, you know, change my life.
Would that be the tour where y'all would film the music video in the Lithuanian prison?
That was not, well, we didn't do that on the first tour. I think we did that maybe on the third or the fourth one.
Very cool.
Yeah, we went over there a bunch of times.
Yeah. That had to be something, like going back after all those years.
Well, I'd been there a bunch of times before that too. I mean,
okay,
I went to Russia a lot.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine, man. Like just seeing the pictures, like when I'm like looking at the country, especially Moscow, it seems like such a beautiful place. Just the architecture and the buildings, and even like the orthodoxy of the Christian church there. It's I've a lot of respect for the culture.
It's very beautiful. Thank you for saying that, especially nowadays.
Yeah, I don't really give a fuck about that, man. You know, I don't want to get too off into it, but I don't think that Russia's wrong.
We can talk about that off the record.
Yeah, that's yeah, we totally can. But yeah, man. So like, Mad Meg is going. So how'd the Russian tour go? I guess it went well. I mean, y'all are still playing, you know?
Yeah. You know, my grandfather died in St. Petersburg. Still, he lived in Russia in St. Petersburg, where I'm from. He died there in 2017. And I saw him a few months before that. The last time I saw him was when he came to a Mad Meg show.
Oh, man.
That was amazing.
Was he a musician as well?
No.
Oh, he's just a fan of music?
No, I mean, he just
he's
came.
A fan to of you.
Grandson was, you know, visiting, which was kind of a rare thing.
Yeah. You know, yeah, we very cool.
City, so he went. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. So what? It seems like you got your head down. As far as your own personal work with all the projects that you got going, man. Like, what really brought that on for you?
I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't know. I can't, I don't really know why that, you know, it was sparked with that class I was talking about with the prompts. And
yeah,
then,
yeah.
But then it caused like an avalanche of more, you know, more and more and more stuff. But then, you know, then it becomes more verbose. It's like, you know, when I'm first inspired after a while of not writing anything, the first stuff that I do is usually like, very bare and minimalistic, you know, like simple and maybe with few words. And then it gets, as I settle into being in creative mode, after a while the songs become more and more verbose and they become more complicated linguistically, you know, and the lines become longer, I use more words and stuff. I just noticed that tendency. So at that point, when it gets like that, I think it's like maybe a little too, like, you know, I should put the brakes on it a little bit because it kind of feels like I'm getting a little too smart, you know?
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about June. What's going to be the name of that record?
I'm trying to decide what it's called, but it might be called Heartburn. And that one is home recordings, actually.
Oh, great. I'm going to love that.
It's purposely kind of left a bit, sloppy in some places. You know what I mean? Because I like that kind of aesthetic. I actually really enjoy, lo-fi type of approach to things, you know?
Yeah, same, man. I got to mail y'all a couple of copies of the lo-fi record I put out.
Please.
Yeah, totally. So happens in June. Did you do all the mix and mastering yourself?
Yes. On this one, I did everything. Like, it's all me, completely me. Nobody else on it. It's all me at home. So,
Very cool. Are you going to like drop a single or two, give people a taste, or are you just going to drop it all at once?
yeah, I think I will. Actually, I've already low key released one of the songs from it. It was like months ago. I mean, nobody noticed. It'll be okay to do it again. Once or twice. Yeah.
All right. And then what about the bigger project? Any idea about how far off that'll be?
I really wanted to get rid of it, already a long time ago, but I'm still working on it. So, realistically, probably in the fall of this, hopefully in the fall of this year. Ilya is actually Ilya from Mad Meg, the lead singer, is doing the cover. He's designing the cover. He's an
Yeah,
artist.
I mean, he was did some of the creative design for I Am Him on that.
He also directed some of those videos.
Oh, I've got to go back. I haven't watched those yet. I got to go check those out. Yeah, man, I'm always kind of blown away. Like that's a great follow on Instagram if y'all are unaware, Ilya Papenko, of very creative guy. Of like he's got some. I think he's got a solo project out or is in the process of dropping, right?
Yeah, he just released a single, I think. It's called "The Horse Is Not Mine." Oh, by the way, he was in that same class with me, and I'll give you a little, I don't know if he wants me to reveal this or not, but I will anyway. That song was also written from the same prompt where you were supposed to use a foreign expression as the chorus, and
The
the
horse
horse
is not mine.
is another idiom. Yeah.
Very cool, man. Oh, man, I got to get up there in one of those classes. It sounds like I might learn the craft.
It was online, so you can join from anywhere. Anybody can.
Man, you'll have to give me the link when we get off here. Well, Dan, I don't have too many more questions for you. I was going let's do three more and we'll walk it on out of the door. Number one of man, where do you prefer people to follow you? Would it be like just follow you on Spotify or the social media, or like what do you like people to do?
Instagram is good, and Spotify.
Right on. And I'll put those in the description. Just
Bandcamp, but I know that a lot of people don't want to go there. You're never going to get a big crowd on Bandcamp. So, anyone
yeah.
who wants to go there, please do, but don't feel, like that's the only option, because I think that's too limiting.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait till Friday, and I think I'm gonna purchase everything that you have there. And I guess Bandcamp still does Bandcamp Fridays, where 100% of the money goes to the artists.
Thank you.
Far as I know, I'm gonna support that. Man, question two is man, just over of and I guess we've really covered it, especially with that songwriting class. But man, what's been inspiring you lately? You been reading anything?
Oh yeah, sure, yeah. I have been reading a little bit about a kind of behavioral therapy called ACT, which is acceptance and commitment therapy, and it's for anxious people. And I have been reading another book simultaneously about the origins of Russophobia in Western culture.
Oh, yeah, that's a hot topic right now, isn't it?
Yeah. But I don't know if that's been inspiring me exactly.
Well, that's what you've been reading.
Exactly. No, listen, I live in New York City, where which is a city of constant contrasts, and whenever you go outside here, you encounter, whether you want to or not, just so much humanity and so much street theater and all kinds of really weird things, and has also a lot of just regular things, but just a lot. It's a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So that always feeds the ongoing like stream of creative consciousness. So, you know, I don't know to identify anything specific, because when you're here, it's just always
yeah, happening. And also, I mean, and we can talk about this off the air, but it's something I've been curious about is just with in the Lower East Side, like where I know like a lot of the Russian community is. I mean, have y'all experienced some racism or whatever kind of ism that would be?
I don't know about the Lower East Side. I don't live there, but well. No, like not a, you know, it's not like a daily thing on the street. But that's because I personally just avoid it. I avoid the topic entirely, including with most people from the former Soviet Union, because a lot of them don't feel very good about Russia either. I mean, understandably, because many of them are Ukrainians. Well, you know, most Russian speakers in New York are Ukrainian. So,
oh, wow.
It's complicated. You know, it's very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll save that for another time. Well, man, last question to walk it out of the door. Man, if you could hop on a plane or get in the car and you could go anywhere, man, where would you go right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
One second. I'd go to potentially Mexico City.
Why?
I just love it. It's a great.
How many times have you been?
Three or four.
Very cool. Like a vacation spot for you?
Yeah, I love it. It's just great. It's fantastic. You know, very beautiful place. I mean, you know, it's not the safest place in the world, but no, it's okay. You know, if you've got your head on your shoulders, it's okay. You know,
right. Got to have that street smart about you. Keep your head on a swivel.
Sure.
Well, Dan, man, I appreciate your time today, and I will get this out tomorrow. Great. So, brother, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and it's great to be on.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for the Silentia. Thanks for all the tears. Thanks for making totems of your fears. Thanks likewise for making sure there was a narrow aperture. Why not sew your eyes shut altogether, dear? Terrorist suffering, not playing buffering, guilt trips and grievances, that's what you think is love. My mind is full of poison, my heart is full of glee. You're in the dark, you're peering, but you can't see me. My cup it overfloweth, my life is full of woe. You got the time to listen, but you can't know. Trouble and suffering, hunger and poverty, heartache and misery, that's what I think is love. Depression and suicide, that's what I think of love. There ain't nothing left to prove, we both know when you make one wrong move. I'm a swarm, I'm extreme about my hive. You know this thing ain't got no legs, we're just here because we need the eggs. But how do you propose to take me alive? Champagne and misery, struggle and desperation, constant humiliation, that's what we make of love. Torture and treachery, libel and lechery, betrayal and deceit, that's what we've made of love. Paranoia, claustrophobia, asphyxiation, that's what we call love.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.